an economic indicator called the BMW. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. BMW is also Mini, Rolls-Royce, and more, and there's word today its profit is up 11% compared to a year ago, whether one is pro-BMW or not, and there is a schism. Just where the company is selling its rolling status symbols may give us a read on how the global economy is doing. BBC business correspondent Russell Padmore is covering this from London. Morning, Russell.
Good morning, David. Good to be with you again.
Russell, if it's fair to use BMW sales as the BMW economic indicator, what do we find?
I suppose BMW is pointing out that it is on track to record sales this year, all thanks to the fact that many drivers in China are buying the company's cars. A 25% jump in sales in April in China. The one side that is being let down, American drivers aren't buying as many BMW cars as the company would like. Sales up a modest 2.7% in the first quarter of the year. Ultimately, the American drivers are kind of holding back on the Mini.
So we have China, but there are some signs of life when it comes to BMW sales in Europe, which is surprising given everything that continent has been through.
There is a modest jump in sales for BMW in Europe. One bright spot in the European car sales market, a very healthy rise for car manufacturers here in the UK, although those are the Japanese makers largely dominating matters here. Toyota and Honda sales rose 17% in March. Germany is a bit of a worry. This is the major market for car sales in Europe, and the auto market saw a drop of 3.6%, a decline for April. Looking at March, year-on-year, sales in Greece up 30%, Spain up 10%, Portugal 47%. So I suppose there's signs there that those markets in particular are seeing a big jump. So maybe the numbers we'll get for April due out in about a week's time will show that recovery is still going down the road in the right direction.
Russell Padmore, the BBC in London. Thank you.
David, thank you.
When the great history of the pharmaceutical industry is written, and who wouldn't want to read that one, the spring of 2014 may get its own chapter. The latest proposed merger acquisition came in the last hour. Germany's Bayer, of aspirin fame, says it plans to buy the consumer business of Merck & Company of the U.S. That means Claritin allergy medicine, Coppertone sunscreen, and Dr. Scholl's. The deal's worth more than $14 billion. If you want to get into or stay in the middle class, then a college education is a key ingredient. But among those who often have a very tough time finishing a four-year degree are people who spent time in foster care after family abuse or neglect. We assigned several stories as part of National Foster Care Month. Today, Marketplace's Noelle King spent time with someone who came out of the foster care system who is now on her way to a four-year degree.
22-year-old Lucera Noyola looks like any other student on the University of Southern California campus. She's petite with thick-rimmed glasses and ripped jeans. But her past is different. At 13, Lucero and her sister beat up a classmate and were hauled before a judge.
My mom and dad were like, what the hell? They dressed us up like little girls and we're like, oh my God, what are you making us wear?
Lucero's parents, both Mexican immigrants, worked full time.
The home was always like not, you know, supervised by adults. It was just like a house for like a bunch of kids to run wild.
Lucero took drugs, cut school, failed classes, kept fighting. She bounced between juvenile halls, her parents' house, and a camp for troubled kids. At 16, a court sent Lucero to a group home, foster care, and she really liked it.
I thought it was really like a family. Like, they would give me my lunch, and they'd take me to school, they'd pick me up.
After returning to her parents' house, Lucero kept her grades up. At 18, she had a baby, and her dad took her to apply for aid.
I was sitting there, and I realized, like, there's, like, a lot of homeless people. And I was like, no. Like, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to live like this. They're just, like, going to be giving me like, $200 a month and some, you know, bus tokens and food stamps and then see, you know, what life you can, you know, live with this. And it wasn't for me. I didn't want it.
She asked her dad to pick her up and take her to East Los Angeles Community College to apply. Mark Courtney of the University of Chicago's School of Social Service Administration has tracked hundreds of former foster youth up to age 26. A college degree is rare.
Only 4% had a four-year degree. That compares to about 36% of young people in the general population.
Many find college too expensive. Others can't find housing or daycare. Courtney says on-campus programs for former foster youth can help.
On-campus programs can help young people negotiate very complicated systems at colleges that, you know, these young people wouldn't necessarily have parents to help them. Very few of these young people have parents who went to college.
When Lucero transferred to USC, no one at the private college knew how to get the forms she needed to keep state benefits that help her pay for childcare. She turned to USC's Trojan Guardian Scholars Program, a support group for former foster youth.
And they're like, okay, what do we need to do? And I was like, I need all these forms. And then they looked at them and they're like, okay.
Today, she has a double major and a 3.5 GPA, and she'd like to become Professor Noyola. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
And a big survey finds that getting into a fancy college means money in the sense of the money you need for tuition, but it doesn't mean happiness. Gallup surveyed 30,000 college grads throughout their lives and finds that going to a highly selective college or university doesn't turn you into a happier person or a more engaged person on the job compared with people who went to college with lesser-known brands. What is clear from the survey is that people who had one of those inspiring, supportive professors or mentors at any college tended to thrive throughout their lives. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.